Name something that gets passed around.
A joint.
A joint.
Legalized marijuana is always a very difficult question.
The time is long overdue for us to remove the federal prohibition on marijuana.
From now on, I smoke weed exclusively with white people.
Well, I'm getting high and excited.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man, the Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
There's definitely cannabis in there, and it makes sure that I can sleep now.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Don't piss off your old dealer.
Marijuana is not the kind of thing that ought to be legalized.
I know you're not supposed to admit that you smoke pot, but I don't drink alcohol.
Let's get out of here. I had some really good weed back at the hotel.
I used to smoke marijuana.
I don't care if an adult wants to smoke marijuana. They shouldn't go to prison for it either.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Time for Toker Talk Radio, where we let down what's left of my hair, loosen the tie a little bit. Glad to have you here. We just finished up that rant on what's going on in Colorado. The idea that there's been some terrible, terrible problems since marijuana has been legalized. Not based on any actual facts, science, reason, or logic, but just based on the hunches, the wishes of Kevin Sabet and the prohibitionists. And they don't recognize the fact that good things are happening here thanks to marijuana legalization, not bad things. We are actually turning out better than ever. And one of the things they had predicted is that we would have some terrible crime wave if we legalized pot. So let's take a look at that. Some of these prohibitionists believe that marijuana itself causes people to behave in a criminal manner, not the prohibition on marijuana. But when we look at the Colorado figures from their Crime in Colorado annual reports, the Colorado Bureau of Investigation, and again, basing this on crime rates per 100,000 people, so we're dealing with the fact that Colorado's population has increased quite a bit. Crime rates per 100,000 people across the board, when it comes to serious crimes, everything except rape is in serious decline here. So we have decreasing robbery and homicide statistics in Colorado, where robbery had been up around over 80 robberies per 100,000 people. Now it's under 60. In the case of homicides, homicides had been around 4 per 100,000 people. It's now below 3 per 100,000. But the rape statistics are a little concerning. The rest of the country is generally seeing increases in robbery and homicide. Colorado is seeing decreases. But the significant spike in rape cases is pretty startling. The rape case has been around 40-ish per 100,000 people. And just in 2012 to 2013, it rose to like 55, 56. So a significant increase. It makes me question whether there's been a change in the statistical methodology. Like, have they changed the definition to include, to be more inclusive? Like some of these crime reports report forcible rape, and they distinguish that from like statutory rape and other sorts of rape. I don't understand necessarily how that works, but maybe they've come up with a more inclusive definition, because this spike doesn't seem very likely. Maybe there's just more reporting of rape by rape victims. Nevertheless, it would be ridiculous to suggest that marijuana legalization's led to an increase in rape. Looking at some of the other crimes too, we look at assault. Assault is up slightly since legalization, but not really that significant. Burglary is down slightly, and auto theft hasn't changed much. These figures have been fairly steady since 2009. Before that, they were much higher. So we saw higher assault, burglary, and auto theft crime rates before Colorado implemented their medical marijuana dispensary system. Since then, rates have stayed pretty much the same. Because this idea that legalizing marijuana would somehow lead to terrible outcomes is based on a faulty idea that legalization somehow invents marijuana. It doesn't. Marijuana's been around for quite some time, and it's very popular. If marijuana causes serious issues with traffic safety or student performance or crime, we would have already seen these problems increase and decrease in correlation to greater and lesser use of marijuana. All right, one other thing I want to mention before we finish this first segment. My thanks go out today to Sarah Bennett, a wonderful woman who was one of the many people, one of the people that got busted last dispensary bust that happened in Oregon before we had passed our dispensary law. She had a dispensary here called the Human Solution that was in the Portland area that was kind of a model for what came to be our license. Well, poor Sarah, unfortunately, has contracted cancer. She's got cancer, and she's fighting it right now. This is the shirt from last night's event. We had a fundraiser for her. It's the My Sweet Life, a little pink hummingbird, and then the Fuck Cancer tagline. And one of my favorite parts of this is we got together with Sarah. Of course, she's lost her hair from the chemotherapy. And we all got together for a picture. She called all of us bald guys up to take this picture. I've got it up on the screen now for the viewers in but there it is. I like to call this Sarah Bennett and the Baldies, like we're some sort of weird rock band. That's us all giving the finger to cancer, because fuck cancer. Thanks, Sarah, for having me out there, and I know you're gonna power through this. I know you're gonna come through the other side stronger, better, wiser, and healthier. We'll be there. We got your back. We're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Fyatt asked, "What does meth do to your brain? Does meth make you hear voices? Or, if I asked, can't you just stop doing meth? My mom wouldn't be asking."
Oh, God, what did you do? Oh.
Oh. Oh, baby, hold on, please.
Honey!
This has been the Russ Belville Show's anti-drug public service announcement of the day, exclusively on RadicalRuss.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
Some of the people who were taking marijuana for those purposes, the coroner believed after they died there was drug interactions.
Okay, maybe you're high too. Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that.
Dude.
A public service message from the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Glad to have you here. It's a nice day here in Portland, Oregon. We're actually starting to get some decent weather here. That's a nice change of pace, I gotta tell you that. It's been cold and wet and rainy for far too long. Oh yeah, we are. I'm trying to get the camera ready here for a piece on Kevin Sabet, but it doesn't want to behave for me. So I'm going to see what I can do here. There we go. Now I got it working. All right. Sometimes these this software, trying to run the software and talk to you at the same time, can be a little daunting, but I'm usually able to make it happen okay. The other thing I wanted to bring up was daylight savings time. We all went through this daylight savings time thing where we set our clocks for it. How many of you messed that up, right? How many of you had no idea what was going on and that the daylight savings time was coming? I was one of them. I had no idea what was going on. So there is a piece up at reason.com that discusses this, and it's a piece on how we got daylight savings time in the first place. And it debunks some of the falsehoods about daylight savings time. And you probably heard the same things I heard. Like when I was growing up, I was always told that we had daylight savings time for the farmers. Because the farmers, you know, they needed their kids to be able to go and work on the farm. And so we had to move the clocks so that there'd be enough daylight for these guys to be able to work. Well, it turns out that's rubbish. There's nothing to that theory at all. According to the piece in Reason by Andrew Heaton, he says, quote, "Let's first dispense with some of the myths behind daylight savings time. Many people assume we enacted it to help farmers. That's nonsense. Most of my relatives who aren't in prison are farmers. I have no idea what time they wake up in the morning because whenever I visit, they've already eaten lunch by the time I'm mixing a hangover cure. They rise before dawn to feed the cows, mow the corn, construct scarecrows, etc., all without directives from Congress. Daylight savings time came about because of World War I. Germany, the United Kingdom, and the United States all pushed our clocks forward to better coordinate waking hours with light bulb use, thereby conserving electricity. The program lapsed until World War II when President Franklin Roosevelt instituted war time zones, which were basically the same thing, only with a cooler sounding name. Astonishingly, despite originating as a temporary FDR government program, war time zones actually ceased at the conclusion of the war. Therefore, time zones defaulted to municipalities until 1966, when Congress enacted a permanent annual daylight savings time, in part to standardize the plethora of discordant clocks across the nation." So all of these reasons now are outdated. We don't need to be saving for the war effort. We're saving about 1%. We saved about 1% on electricity when we first started daylight savings time, but now that is being offset by the increase in air conditioning. So there's no economic value or climate change value or ecological value in keeping our daylight savings time. And there's a few places that don't do daylight savings time. Arizona doesn't do it. And Indiana doesn't do daylight savings time. This is something that we could easily change through an act of Congress. Guam, the territory of Guam, doesn't do daylight savings time. But to change this, it's going to have to happen at the federal level. We can't just change it one state at a time. It's going to be problematic if we do that. Let's just finally recognize that we don't need to be changing our clocks, and let's end this madness of daylight savings time. All right, let's get back to marijuana, because there is some marijuana news to get to, and that is the creation of a new, the launch, I should say, of a new ad campaign by the folks at Project Sam. Kevin Sabet and all the Project Sam people are working hard to thwart the legalization of marijuana in Vermont and Rhode Island. And to do this, first of all, recognize that those two states are looking at legalization through their legislatures. So consider that a lot about this website is going to be aimed at decision makers and not necessarily the general public. But here's a look at the website. It's called arewesure.net. The first thing I see when I see a .net address, it makes me want to know what's under .com and what's under .org. So let's see. Are we sure? We'll just take a look while we're here. I didn't even look at it before the thing. But arewesure.com is unavailable. And arewesure.org is... arewesure.org is a United Kingdom is a Brexit is a Brexit website. So that's interesting. Anyway, Kevin Sabet and Project Sam have launched AreWeSure.net. And the website features on its homepage two buttons, one for Vermont, one for Rhode Island. We'll just take a look at the Rhode Island Are We Sure? And here's what they've got for their big poster. In scary terms, we've got this. Are we really ready for a pot shop on every corner? Are we ready for cannabis cola, gummy bears, cookies, and gum? Are we ready for marijuana corporations, lobbyists, and special interest groups? Are we ready for the thousands of ways legal pot will change our culture and communities forever? Are we sure? And a little tagline at the bottom. If you're not sure you're ready for a world with legalized marijuana, the time to get involved is now. Join the conversation at arewesure.net. Okay, first of all, this is a perfect example of the Kevin Sabet playbook of fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Are we really ready for a pot shop on every corner? There's not even pot shops on every corner in the states that have passed them with initiatives. The states that have passed them with initiatives have these 1,000-foot barriers. You got to be 1,000 foot away from another pot shop. The closest I've seen two pot shops to one another here in the state of Oregon is 4 blocks. There's a pot shop on 24th and Sandy, and there's a pot shop on 28th and Sandy. So that would be one every 4 corners, not once every corner. It also brings back that ridiculous thing we hear from these guys. Well, there's more licensed pot shops than McDonald's. There's more licensed pot shops than Starbucks. Yeah, but are there more licensed pot shops than places to buy a hamburger? Are there more licensed pot shops than places to buy some coffee? Comparing the purveyors of marijuana, all of them, to the single brand of burgers or a single brand of coffee is disingenuous. Are we ready for cannabis, cola, gummy bears, cookies, and gum? Yeah, you're far more ready in Vermont and Rhode Island because you've had the experience of Colorado, Washington, and Oregon going before you. And now you know that these things need to be labeled and these things need to be properly tested and regulated and have some sort of serving size limits. Yeah, you're ready. I love how these people, these Kevin Sabet types, want to scare the public about the idea that there might be a cannabis gummy bear, but are silent when the FDA approves a gummy meth for kids. When they approve lollipops for kids that have heavy-duty opioids in them. When nobody utters a word about laxatives that look like chocolate bars. Somehow, for years, we've been able to keep the kids out of the X-Lax chocolates. But the marijuana gummy bear is going to lead to their ultimate downfall. Okay. Are we ready for marijuana corporations, lobbyists, and special interest groups? Well, guess what? There already exist marijuana businesses. They're just called gangs. They're just called cartels. They're just called street dealers in Rhode Island or Vermont. We already have marijuana lobbyists. It's just they're all lobbyists on the other side. The lobbyists for law enforcement, the lobbyists for big rehab, the lobbyists for the pharmaceutical industry. We've been having a one-sided conversation about marijuana for decades now. And special interest groups? What bigger special interest group could you get than cops who get paid overtime to chop down weeds? Or get paid overtime to go sit in a court case for some kid caught with a dime bag? What better special interest group could there be than the big rehab professionals dependent on drug courts sentencing them new clients every day? Clients who don't have true addictions, clients who are only using marijuana and thereby can easily stop using it and make those rehab statistics look really good. Are we ready for the thousands of ways legal pot will change our culture and communities forever? As if nobody in Rhode Island is smoking pot now.
Oh, I could have smoked that pot.
This is all Kevin Smith's got left. He can't convince people it's not medical. He can't convince people that we ought to be locked up for it. He can't convince people it's 10 times stronger than the Woodstock weed. He can't convince people that it's more harmful than alcohol. He can't convince people that the drug war is working. All he's got left is fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Happy 420 from the Pacific Time Zone. We'll take a break and be right back after this.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer. Or email firedublawyer@gmail.com.
Get the latest updates on the Russ Belville Show by following Radical Russ on Twitter and liking the Russ Belville Show on Facebook.
This is Radical Russ Belville with a word about stone driving. Numerous studies have shown that once you factor in age and gender, drivers with cannabis in their system have no statistically greater risk of motor vehicle crashes than sober drivers. But that doesn't mean you ought to be toking and driving. Those studies are referring to people with any amount of THC or metabolite in their system, not people who just smoked marijuana. Simulators and observed demonstrations show that cannabis consumers do develop a tolerance to the impairing effects of marijuana and can perform driving tasks within an acceptable margin of safety. However, infrequent and novice consumers do not and cannot and would be wise to never toke and drive. Even regular cannabis consumers should exercise caution before deciding to drive, as most state laws punish drivers harshly if they're discovered to have marijuana in their system. This has been a public service announcement from the Russ Belville Show.
Yarr, thar be pirates here. Har, 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 har.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, we're continuing our look at the latest ad campaign by Project Sam in Vermont and in Rhode Island called AreWeSure.net. A heaping helping of fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Oh my God, how could we legalize marijuana? The sky will fall. It'll be the end of civilization as we know it. So, the reason behind this, at least in Rhode Island, is that the legislators there have introduced House Bill 5555 and Senate Bill 420. Yes, Senate Bill 420. It's the third time, by the way, a state legislature has put forth a marijuana-related measure that had a 420 in it. There was a Senate Bill 420 in California that set the California medical marijuana limits, though the Jerry Brown limits originally. And there was an SB 420. I can't remember where else there was. But anyway, there's one now in Rhode Island. And this would legalize recreational marijuana and create, you know, commercial marijuana industry. Kevin Sabet and Project Sam write, quote, "These bills are designed to create a powerful marijuana industry in Rhode Island that uses the same deceptive tactics as the tobacco industry." Okay, so I already wrote about this. I already ranted about this a couple, few days ago, about this idea that Project Sam has. It's their last gasp to frighten people about marijuana. And that is not to frighten them about the substance itself, but to frighten them about the commercialization of it. And since marijuana itself isn't that scary, he's got to link it to something that is. And that is big tobacco. He wants to link this to big tobacco to evoke that same fear of a predatory corporate industry that's peddling addiction and harming kids and manufacturing death. That's the idea. That's the game plan here. The problem for Kevin Sabet is that unlike tobacco, sellers of cannabis don't have to lie about it. See, big tobacco had to lie First of all, it had to lie to the adults because the adults that were smoking cigarettes were getting this information that it was causing cancer, is causing people to get emphysema, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and death. And, you know, adults, even when they're addicted to something, when they get the word that it's killing them, it does have a tendency to reduce sales. So Big Tobacco had to lie. They had to have the doctors smoke camels and I recommend Chesterfield type of ads and had to lie about the cancer effects and all of this stuff because if they told the truth, they'd lose money. But marijuana doesn't cause cancer. Marijuana actually protects from cancer. It actually reduces your risk of head, neck, and lung cancer. It doesn't lead to chronic obstructive pulmonary disease and emphysema. So there's nothing to lie about. We don't have to lie to the adults that use cannabis and tell them it's good for them because it is good for them. The therapeutic effects of cannabis ingested by a consumer take effect whether or not they are doing it for fun, whether they're doing it for medicine, doesn't matter. It's still as good for them. So it's going to protect them from Alzheimer's. It's going to protect them from cancers. It's going to protect them and help maintain the homeostasis of their body to reduce their problems with insulin and diabetes and so forth. Reduce their feelings of pain or boredom or anxiety or depression. We see this reflected in the statistics. While the use of marijuana hasn't really changed much for young people, for people 50 and older, it's tripled. It's tripled the use among people 50 and older because the adults discover it and go, oh my God, where have you been all my life? I can throw away all these pills. I can just use this herb, not have these side effects that I have to take another pill for. Big Tobacco didn't have that advantage. And that leads to the other point, which is Big Tobacco had to market to kids. They had to market to kids because you can't get an adult to start smoking cigarettes. An adult smokes that first cigarette, hacks and pukes and coughs and gags and goes, oh my God, this is disgusting, and they won't keep doing it. But a kid, they'll power through that. They'll try to maintain their cool. They want to look adult. They want to get past that peer pressure. They want to seem cool. They had to market to kids. Cannabis doesn't have to market to kids. There's plenty of adults taking it up. And cannabis can't sell to those kids anyway. So there's no correlation. There's no proper analogy between Big Tobacco and Big Cannabis. The only thing that's similar between the two is they sell a product that is burned and inhaled. That's it. That's where the similarities end. But Kevin Samet's got to ride this Big Tobacco horse all the way to the barn because he's got nothing else left. He continues to try to demonize what's going on in Colorado. He says, quote, the citizens of Rhode Island do not want to follow Colorado's path where marijuana-related traffic fatalities have risen, the black market continues to thrive, and youth drug use is climbing. I just showed you the stats that marijuana-related traffic fatalities have not risen. When he says that, he's referring to people that have gotten into fatality accidents and we test their blood and we find there's THC in there. That doesn't tell us that the traffic fatality had anything to do with marijuana. That person could have been driving their car, minding their own business, and got T-boned by a drunk driver. And then we find, oh, there's pot in that guy, in the victim's system. The victim being high or having THC in their system, and they probably weren't high, had nothing to do with the drunk driver T-boning. But as far as the stats go, that gets counted as one of Kevin Samet's marijuana-related fatalities. In fact, what we've seen is that DUIs, all DUI charges, have fallen precipitously in Colorado. If there's a problem of a whole bunch of stone drivers going around the Colorado roads, the cops don't seem to be pulling them over as much. The cops don't seem to be filing these charges as much. So it leaves a lot to be desired there. Kevin Samet's website asks, are we sure that marijuana legalization will help our schools? Largely, school districts in Colorado are still going either unfunded or underfunded. Okay, this is a little of this, follow the bouncing ball, right, kind of thing. School districts in Colorado are still going either unfunded or underfunded is a sentence that refers to their overall budget levels that are dependent on the state legislature earmarking money for schools. That has nothing to do with whether or not marijuana brought in money. As far as those tax revenues, you'll hear the opponents, and they did this in 2016 in Arizona, try to say, oh, well, Denver schools didn't get any money from legalization. That's because Denver schools rejected the money from legalization. It was offered to them. They just didn't take it. They try to say that marijuana legalization, the taxes only add up to 1% of the total budget for the state of Colorado. And that's looking at it in the wrong direction. It's not a question of what percentage is marijuana taxes of Colorado's overall budget. It's how much more tax money are we bringing in from marijuana than before it was legalized? We didn't sell legalization saying it was going to be 20% of the Colorado budget or 2% of the Colorado budget or any percent of the Colorado budget. We sold it by saying it will be infinitely more tax money than you've taken in previously. Because previously you were taking in, zero. Yes, zero tax dollars. And now you've taken in over 100 million tax dollars. Finally, Kevin Sabet on this site writes, quote, marijuana legalization promises so much, but in reality, the only people who benefit are the wealthy investors who want to create the next big tobacco and put profit over people. Put profit over people, writes the guy who supports maintaining the prohibition that locks up cannabis consumers, puts them to work in demeaning slave wage jobs at 17 cents an hour to make tens of thousands of dollars of profit per prisoner for the corporations. That's where profits over people, where we're warehousing people for their use of a non-toxic herb in order to provide cheap labor, slave labor, for our corporations. I get really offended by this continued refrain from Kevin Sabet that the only people that want marijuana legalization are wealthy investors. Because I spent years for Normal trying to fundraise for money, looking for all sorts of people that want to get rich on marijuana legalization, and they were nowhere to be found. The only people who put forth the billions necessary, well, maybe it's hundreds of millions, necessary to get all 28 medical marijuana states and all 8 legalization states come down to a handful of billionaires. George Soros, Peter Lewis, John Sperling, George Zimmer, and a few others. Almost all those people who invested 8 figures, perhaps, in marijuana legalization, maybe more than that, almost all those people, I can't think of a one who has a serious investment interest, a serious stake in making profit off legalization. I could be wrong. I don't know all the holdings of George Soros and the estates of Sperling or Lewis. I don't know everything that George Zimmer owns. But these people aren't giving their millions because they're looking to get rich. They're already rich. They're ludicrously rich. They're doing it because it's the right thing to do. And the tens of thousands of us who call ourselves cannabis activists, marijuana advocates, however you describe yourself, the vast majority of us are not doing this to make a buck. Believe me, folks, there's all sorts of jobs I could have where I'd make a whole lot more money than researching, reading, writing, and talking about weed all day. Lots of jobs. And a lot of the people I know in the cannabis movement are in the same boat. People that are just dedicated to changing the law and helping people. It's not about profit for them. This Kevin Sabet thing, they've got all sorts of, there's ads you can go look at their website. Again, this is at arewesure.net. Here's one. Peace and love is crossed out and written in its place, dollars and cents. You know, us hippie types that are all about marijuana legalization, we're all about the money and the corporations. That's what we're for. His tag here says, legalizing marijuana might seem like a perfectly natural idea at first, but when you consider that similar habit-forming products have built some of the most deceptive corporations and lobbying forces in American history, it may not seem like such a great idea after all. Are we sure we're ready for everything that comes with legalized marijuana? And again, this is that notion that because alcohol is a deadly, dangerous, addictive, toxic substance that is marketed heavily, and tobacco is a deadly, dangerous, addictive substance that is marketed commercially, everything bad that happened with those is going to happen with marijuana. Ignoring, of course, that marijuana ain't alcohol and marijuana ain't tobacco. Never was, never will be. That's all he's got. That's all Kevin Samet's got, man. He's down to the last card in the hand. This is all he's got left to play. And from my experience, most Americans aren't too upset with raising tax money they don't have to pay and creating more jobs and economy. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
Drugs take away the dream from every child's heart and replace it with a nightmare.
Okay, maybe you're high, too. Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they aim you to say that.
Bueller.
A public service message from the Russ Belville Show. I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Barack has sent him a package. Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a skunk.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 37 after the hour, we continue our talk about Kevin Samet, Project Sam. We got a new website. It's entitled AreWeSure.net. And the goal of this website is to incite fear, uncertainty, and doubt when it comes to the legalization of marijuana. When we last left off, they had, I was showing you the ads they have, these little graphics that they've put up. First one is a graphic that says peace and love, and it's crossed out, and then in its place it says dollars and cents. This is supposed to try to change the frame, trying to change the perspective of who it is that's all about legalizing marijuana, because we come out and we say it's for social justice and to end the racist enforcement of the drug war and to reduce prison overcrowding and to reduce criminal justice costs and to increase civil liberties. And well, Kevin Samet can't have that. He needs to paint us as something sinister. And too many people, especially older folks of the baby boomer generation, have a positive view of marijuana and marijuana reform activism. And that's what this peace and love part is he's trying to cross out. Try to take people away from the frame of it being 60s related and reform and civil justice and all of that, and make it instead about something corporate, about profit, about the only reason why people are involved in this is to make a buck. And I'm telling you, even the people who are involved in this trying to make a buck aren't necessarily making a buck. I know a lot of people that have opened up pot shops that have had to close them. I mean, it's not always easy to make a buck in marijuana. Now, I don't have a problem with people trying to make money, wanting to have a business and follow the law and pay taxes and hire employees and contribute to the tax base and generate economic activity. I don't know why. It's just so weird to me that me, the pot legalizer, is the guy defending American capitalism. Like us hippie radical types that smoke the dope, we're the ones defending capitalism. And it's the squares like Kevin Samet that are trying to demonize it and say it's something terrible and something awful. And the other thing about this whole, oh my God, because he's got another, let me get to the other slide here he's got, which is the big tobacco, and then tobacco is slashed out, and then marijuana is written below it, right? That there's this big marijuana that we've got to worry about. Well, one of the problems with that line of thinking is it supposes that we are going to completely forget every lesson we ever learned when it came to big tobacco or big alcohol, right? Like, we've been through the whole doctors smoke camels thing. We've been through the Joe Camel cartoon stuff. We've been through the Spuds McKenzie Bud Light dog stuff. We've been through candy cigarettes and candy cigars. We've had that experience, and we learned from that experience. And it shows in the regulation of cannabis how, as we've legalized, they've had all sorts of marketing and advertising restrictions. Far more advertising and marketing restrictions than we require of tobacco or alcohol. We've seen it in the packaging requirements. They got to be childproof packages. Is anybody putting childproof packaging on cigarettes lately? Yeah, you have to show ID to get them, and they're locked up behind a counter at the store. But once those packs of cigarettes have been purchased and taken home, there's no childproof container on them, is there? There's no child safety lock on a carton of cigarettes or a pack of cigarettes, right? But when it comes to marijuana, oh my God, we got to make sure that it's in a bag that locks, and you have to push down and hold on the thing and twist it and all this stuff. We don't require childproof containers on beer. Cans of beer still have a pop top on them. Still just pop them right open. So we require of cannabis already far more restrictions than we require of tobacco and alcohol, precisely because we learned those lessons. We've been through big tobacco. We've been through big alcohol. So I guess Kevin just thinks we're stupid. That when we regulate these things, our legislators and our committees and our councils aren't going to apply the lessons we've already learned. And the history and the results we've got so far show that we have applied those lessons. How about this one? I love this one where he's got the joint, and then that's crossed out, and below it, it says gummy bear. Yeah, this is the big Kevin Samet fear that, oh my God, the pot gummy bear. It shows you how desperate he's gotten, that he's got to latch on to the whole pot gummy bear is the big fear. Oh my God, there's gummy bears with pot in them. And again, this is that trying to separate the baby boomers from their feelings about the summer of love, and they may have smoked a joint back in the day and don't think much of it. So it's got to be something new. It's got to be something different. It's got to be this scary marijuana gummy bear. That the kids, they might not know that it's a marijuana gummy bear. And again, this is a question of good parenting. This is not a question of whether or not there's marijuana in a gummy bear. There's methamphetamine in gummy bears now. They make prescription gummy meth that you can get that is FDA approved for children. Gummy meth. We got, the X-Lax chocolate bars that look like a chocolate bar. You leave that out. Kid's going to have the shits. So why is it that Kevin Samet and these prohibitionists have such a laser focus on marijuana for these particular considerations that they never apply to any other substance? There's never a call for childproof containers for beer. There's never a call for childproof containers for tobacco. There's never a call to eliminate Jell-O shots, for example. Hell, I saw a magazine the other day, an online site, that had put up a recipe for wine gummies. How to make gummy bears with wine. I didn't hear any press release from Project Sam decrying that as being a terrible way to affect our kids. But what would affect the kid more, the wine gummy bears or the pot gummy bears? Keep the gummy bears out of the reach of kids, just like you keep your OxyContin out of the reach of kids, just like you should be keeping your Crown Royal out of the reach of kids, just like you should be keeping your guns out of the reach of kids, like you should be keeping your pornography out of the reach of kids. Just be a good parent. We shouldn't be determining our state laws based on how we protect ourselves from those shittiest parents. If we did, we'd have a whole lot different laws out there, wouldn't we? All right, enough of Kevin Sabet here, because it gets to be about the same old after a while. He's involved with a couple of different groups. They're selling some swag out there, too. You can buy yard signs and full-size posters, 18 by 24, if you want to sign up for those. I don't. All right, let me get to another story here that is, it's just breaking. And I haven't read it in depth yet, so I don't want to go too deep into this story, but it is kind of fascinating, and it has to do with the case of Michael Brown. You remember the Michael Brown case? He was the young man in Ferguson who was shot by an unarmed black man, shot by the cops back in 2014, that led to the wave of protests, the Black Lives Matter movement, and all of that, right? So you remember the Ferguson case. And one of the piece of the evidence in that case was a videotape that was released. It was a videotape that was released from a convenience store that claimed to have shown Michael Brown involved with an altercation, perhaps a robbery, at this convenience store. And it showed Michael Brown, he's a big guy, going up against this clerk who was small, kind of pushing. You remember that, right? Remember the case, right? And there was a lot of outcry about it because the people who supported the Michael Brown side were saying the only purpose that the law enforcement released this footage was to impugn the character of Michael Brown, to make him look like a thug, right? Others on the other side said, now, wait a minute. Darren Wilson, the cop that stopped and killed Michael Brown, was reacting to the fact that there was a robbery, and he thought that this was the suspect in the robbery. So that's the setup, right? That's where that case had been, and there was controversy on both sides. But now there's a documentary that's coming out. It's called Stranger Fruit. Of course, Strange Fruit refers to the Billie Holiday song, the famous song where she compares the lynched African-Americans hanging from trees to a strange fruit, right? So Stranger Fruit kind of evokes that idea of lynching, right? So in this documentary, the filmmaker suggests an alternative to the narrative that the police put forward, that it was a robbery that had gone bad and then Darren Wilson was reacting to a suspect. It claims, the documentary claims, that it wasn't a robbery at all, but instead, Michael Brown had made a prearranged exchange for weed with a group of the store clerks. The idea now is that there's some new footage from the store that suggests that 11 hours before Michael Brown was killed, in that same convenience store that they had the footage from later, they say that earlier, and the director shared this footage with the New York Times, the earlier footage appears to show Brown entering Ferguson Market and Liquor just after 1 a.m., walking around the convenience store and then handing something, which the filmmakers believe to be a small bag of marijuana, to the clerks behind the counter. They inspect the bag and appear to smell it, the footage shows, then hand Brown what the documentary claims is a plastic bag containing two large boxes of cigarillos. Brown turns to leave, the new video shows, then passes the cigarillos back across the counter for what the documentary characterizes as safekeeping. With this new early morning interaction for context, Pollock and Brown's mother make a bold claim. Brown didn't rob the convenience store minutes before he died. In reality, they claim, he was coming to collect his cigarillos that he had left the night before. Now, it's unclear, according to this story in The Cannabist, that this revelation would affect the case in any way. But the documentarian made clear that he felt the local authority's decision to withhold this earlier footage was unjustified. He calls it suppression of evidence, saying to the New York Times, quote, What this video shows is that they lied to the world about what happened. They wanted to make Mike look bad, so they put out half a video to destroy his character in his death. End quote. After the film's debut, the local authorities told the New York Times the unseen footage wasn't released because it wasn't relevant to the case, wasn't relevant to the investigation. The attorney for the convenience store clerks says, quote, there was no transaction, there was no understanding, no agreement. Those folks didn't sell him cigarillos for pot. The reason he gave it back is he was walking out the door with unpaid merchandise and they wanted it back. Pollock also says, quote, I couldn't believe what I had read. Michael was in the store the night before he died, and St. Louis County saw the videotape, and they didn't tell us. Well, guess what, St. Louis County? I've got the videotape. We shall see how this turns out. I will keep focusing on this. Stranger Fruit just debuted at South by Southwest. We shall see. If I can get my hands on a copy of that, I will let you know what I find in it. But this is an amazing new development in the Michael Brown Ferguson case.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, firedeuplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email firedeuplawyer@gmail.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
Sean Spicer, our press secretary, gave alternative facts to that.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that.
Hey man, am I driving okay?
A public service message from the Russ Belville Show.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here?
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 53 after the hour, and we're going to close up shop today with, once again, my look at Sarah Bennett and the Baldies, my favorite rock group. There we are, all flipping the bird to cancer. Fuck cancer. But I do want to say that I don't ever want to do this again. This picture you see, I don't want to ever have to go to another friend's event where they're having to raise money for their medical expenses to battle cancer. Number one, I don't want any more of my friends to get cancer. I've had too many friends that have gotten cancer. Brave Michaela, Lori Duckworth, Sarah Bennett. I'm probably forgetting a whole bunch. Tons of people. Far too many people I've known. Christine McGarvin. Far too many people that have had cancer. So number one, let's end that. No more cancer for my friends. Well, no more cancer for anybody. But at least specifically not my friends. Number two, no more people having to raise money for medical bills. Kind of society are we when someone like Sarah, who's spent years helping other people, you know, providing cannabis to other people. That's one of the jokes I said to her when we first got there last night, is like, wait a minute, Sarah, you're supposed to be throwing these things for other people with cancer, right? You're not supposed to be the subject of the party. But it's just sad in this country that we have to do that. They don't do this in France. They don't do this in Canada. They don't do this in Britain. Somebody with cancer doesn't have to start a GoFundMe page or have a bake sale or a raffle or a party or solicit donations from people just to live. What kind of sick society are we that doesn't have a civilized healthcare system that recognizes we are all better when we are all healthy? that what can affect any one of us, the cancer that can affect Sarah, could be affecting your loved one next or yourself next. This is one of the things I am most ashamed about when it comes to being an American. And I love my country. I love my country. I signed up to fight for it. I believe in our values, our Constitution, to my core. But I can't get my head around the idea that we're supposedly a Christian nation, and yet we use half of our federal budget for war and very little for healthcare. That, again, I'm not a subscriber, right? He's your Jesus, right? You're the ones who told me he was all about heal the sick and chase the money changers out of the temple. Don't look at me. You came up with these rules. I would just like, if I have to live in a Christian nation, I would just like the nation to behave like it, right? If we're going to put in God we trust in on our money, and that's supposed to be we're supposed to have these Judeo-Christian ethics, how about living by them? How about putting money toward people with cancer instead of depleted uranium warheads? How about we put some homeless people in some shelters rather than putting together an F-35 fighter strike plane that nobody wants, not even the Pentagon? This picture here should not exist. There shouldn't be a whole bunch of bald guys in powder blue t-shirts flipping off cancer at a fundraiser for someone who shouldn't need to have to raise funds to fight cancer. No American should have to. It's hard for me to get past the idea that if Ivanka Trump had cancer, she'd be fine. She'd get all the best care in the world. But if Sarah Bennett gets cancer, she has to throw a party, fundraiser, and solicit for raffle gifts and put up GoFundMe fundraisers and stuff like that in America. That's how we treat Americans. That's how we treat someone who's a mom of three wonderful kids, who's a caregiver, who has helped so many people. I can't even count how many, whose actions were a stand for civil disobedience and a stand to end marijuana prohibition, who risked and dealt with being busted at the felony level, risking her freedom, risking her assets, her future, her career, and then to have to come down with cancer and then deal with cancer in America, where if you're not rich, or if you're like us and you're working in the marijuana movement, you know, we're so startup in this movement, we don't have a lot of healthcare in our businesses. They're trying, and the good ones are really trying to provide healthcare to the people that need it. But why should employers be in charge of our healthcare? Why should whether or not we get sick and die depend on whether or not we stay in some shitty job we hate? It's just not civilized. Now, I do know why. Those are rhetorical questions. I know why. Business wants you to have to depend on your shitty job. Business wants to lock you in so that if you got some sort of condition, you don't have the freedom to leave. This country was built on the backs of slave laborers, and it continues to follow that inertia today. We continue to have a system that wants to restrict our freedoms, wants to lock us down, wants to keep us from having choice, wants to keep us busy, keep us from having too much free time, too much time to investigate, too much time to research, too much time to learn, and maybe change what goes on in our society. As George Carlin once said, they want you smart enough to be able to run the machines and stupid enough to accept your lot in life. And cannabis threatens that. That's why they don't want it legal, folks. Cannabis threatens the entire Western capitalist paradigm. It threatens the entire Western medical paradigm. That's what they're so afraid of. Not the mildly euphoric herb, but the people who use it. That's all the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate each and every one of you. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and views you can use for the cannabis community. For everyone here at Delta 9 Studios in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers, and fuck cancer.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seat.
you're growing, you're giant, you're rolling, you're smoking. You take a seat, you manage, you're growing, you're giant, you're rolling, you're smoking. You take a seat, you manage, you're growing, you're giant, you're rolling, you're smoking, and it goes down smooth.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
Drugs are menacing our society. They're threatening our values and undercutting our institutions. They're killing our children.
Okay, maybe you're high, too.